That's your kid? Len Files asked, bending over his desk to get a closer look at Bobby. Bobby could smell sensen mints and cigars on his breath, sweat on his body. The collar of his shirt was speckled with dandruff. He's a friend, Ted said, and Bobby thought he might actually explode with happiness. I didn't want to leave him on the street. Yeah, unless you're willing to have to pay to get him back, Len Files agreed. You remind me of somebody, kid. Now, why is that? Bobby shook his head, a little frightened to think he looked like anybody Len Files might know. The fat man barely paid attention to Bobby's headshake. He had straightened and was looking at Ted again. I can't be having kids in here, mister. Ted Brodigan. He offered his hand. Len Files shook it. You know how it is, Ted. People in a business like mine, the cops keep tabs. Of course, but he'll stand right here, won't you, Bobby?
Sure,
Bobby said. And our business won't take long, but it's a good little bit of business, Mr. Files. Len. Len. Of course, Bobby thought. Just Len, because in here was down there. As I say, Len, this is a good piece of business I want to do. I think you'll agree. If you know Jimmy G, you know I don't do the nickels and dimes, Len said. I leave the nickels and dimes to the niggers. What are we talking here? Patterson Johansson? Albini Haywood at the garden tomorrow night? Len's eyes widened. Then his fat and unshaven cheeks spread in a smile. Man, oh man, oh Manischewitz, we need to explore this. We certainly do. Len Files came out from around the desk, took Ted by the arm, and started to lead him toward the pool room. Then he stopped and swung back. Is it Bobby? When you're home and got your feet up, pal?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Bobby Garfield, he would have said, anywhere else, but this was down there. And he thought just plain Bobby would suffice. Well, Bobby, I know those pinball machines probably look good to you, and you probably got a quarter or two in your pocket, but do what Adam didn't and resist the temptation. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
I won't be long, Ted told him, and then allowed Len Files to lead him through the arch and into the pool room. They walked past the men in the high chairs, and Ted stopped to speak to the one getting his shoes shined. Next, to Jimmy G's grandfather, Ted Brodigan looked young. The old man peered up, and Ted said something. The two men laughed into each other's faces. Jimmy G's grandfather had a good, strong laugh for an old fellow. Ted reached out both hands and patted his sallow cheeks with gentle affection. That made Jimmy G's grandfather laugh again. Then Ted let Len draw him into a curtained alcove past the other men in the other chairs. Bobby stood by the desk as if rooted. But Len hadn't said anything about not looking around, and so he did, in all directions. The walls were covered with beer signs and calendars that showed girls with most of their clothes off. One was climbing over a fence in the country. Another was getting out of a packer with most of her skirt in her lap and her garters showing. Behind the desk were more signs, most expressing some negative concept. If you don't like our town, look for a timetable. Don't send a boy to do a man's job. There's no such thing as a free lunch. No checks accepted. No credit. Crying towels are not provided by the management. And a big red button marked police call. Suspended from the ceiling on a loop of dusty wire were cellophane packages. Some marked Ginseng Oriental Love Root and others Spanish Delight. Bobby wondered if they were vitamins of some kind. Why would they sell vitamins in a place like this?